This is Pace the Nation.
What's up, everybody? Welcome into Pace the Nation, broadcasting remotely here at the Gaylord Hotel, the site of the 2013 Marine Corps Marathon Expo. I'm your host, Chris Farley. I am thrilled to be here. We are here in the Ultra Pacers and the Recover Brands booth. Man, it is happening. So the ambient noise you can hear behind us, that is people who are getting ready for the Marine Corps Marathon 10K, Marathon, and 50K tomorrow. So an exciting day for a lot of folks. I'm excited to be joined, and you can see them to my left here, by two stud ultra athletes. To my left, directly to my left, I've got Kyle Curtin. Kyle, what's up, buddy? How are you?
Hey, thanks for having me, Chris. Stoked to be here at MCM.
Thanks for being here. So good to connect with you. And then, of course, we've got JP Giblin, star athlete for ultra as well. He's joining us on my far left. JP, how are you doing, buddy?
Good. Thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
Oh, man, I'm thrilled to talk to you both. We had a good pre-show meeting. Kyle, you and I, we talked with the folks from Ultra and beforehand. And first off, got to thank Ultra for getting you guys here, sponsoring this race. It's a really exciting time for Ultra. We're looking at a couple of their shoes here. We're going to start there. Ultra is bringing the heat. And they are really killing it in Pacers running and especially running in just in general. Talk about Ultra. What shoe you running? I see you got the Forward Experience on, Kyle. What shoes are you running in now?
I'm running mostly in the Lone Peak for trail runs, and I'm going to be running in the Torin for the MCM on Sunday.
So he's running in the marathon tomorrow. And JP, what about you? What are you mostly running in?
Yeah, so I've been sticking to a lot of roads recently, trying to get that leg speed back after Leadville. So I've been loving the Forward Experience. And then I love my Vanish Tempos, also nice and cushioned. So those are my two kind of go-to shoes right now. When I do venture out on the trails, I like my Mont Blanc Boas.
Got it.
I'm a good mixture.
They're making killer stuff, and we're going to talk more about Ultra here in a moment. But, guys, appreciate you guys coming into town. And what you guys are ultra marathoners, ultra racers, professional runners for ultra in the ultra marathon field, but you're here in DC. Kyle, like you said, you're running the marathon.
Yep.
What's been going on? How you been doing? What have you been doing here while you've been here the last couple days?
I've been hanging out at the mall, taking some pictures.
Yep.
DC is such an awesome town to run around in. Everywhere you go, there's, you know, pictures of your money everywhere and just great sights to see.
Yeah.
So it's been really fun to explore the DC area with JP and the ultra crew.
Awesome. And JP, you've been running, and how's DC been for you?
Yeah, it's been cool. The last time I was here was on the Every Person's Quintessential, you know, eighth grade DC trip. And so
you did all like the Smithsonian's
yeah,
and all that stuff.
So seeing all the eighth grade classes walking around in their bright matching shirts, it brings me back to them. But it's pretty cool. All the sights, I mean, you see them on TV, in movies, and to be here in person, it's a pretty cool city.
Awesome. Well, and there are a lot of runners, and you guys have been running, and the listeners right now, stop what you're doing, go to Instagram, give them a follow. It's the King of Carbs for Kyle. That's his handle, and it's jgiblin13. So give those two a follow. They've been posting a lot of stuff about DC and collaborating with Ultra Running on some Instagram posts. Kyle, why the King of Carbs?
I'm a lover of pastries and all things bread related.
I got it. Okay. Makes sense. Makes sense. And I guess, JP, it's your name, right?
Yeah, it's my name.
And
lucky
what's 13?
Okay. Yeah.
Lucky number 13. All right. You mentioned Leadville, JP. I want to start with that, man. So I'm a marathon runner, do the roads. I can't even relate to running 100 miles, which, not only doing 100 miles, but winning the, would you call Leadville like the pinnacle of 100 mile races?
It's one of the oldest. It's very well known. I'd say it's one of the most well known 100 milers. At least from my experience, when I bring up I'm an ultra runner, they say, so you do like Leadville. So I'd say it's one of the more well-known 100-milers.
So has it been your goal always to do well at Leadville, and has that been like a bucket list thing that you finally accomplished as the 2023 champion?
Yeah, I mean, I found ultra running through Leadville. I mean, when I was 20 or turning 21, I signed up for the Leadman competition, which was all the races in Leadville.
Yep.
And that was my first experience with trail running, and it was a suffer fest. It was, you know, I came in and just under 24 hours at that first time, and it was the most miserable thing I've ever done.
Yeah.
And so that's where I found my love for it.
So you fell in love because it was so bad.
Yeah, it was. I was a glutton for punishment, and I remembered my experience in Leadville when I was getting back into trail running, and wanted to come back and win the race.
Well, it's awesome that you guys are both here, because you both have military backgrounds. So I'm going to stick with you, JP. Discharged from the Navy in 2021. What were you doing? And that was before you were really into ultra running. What were you doing for the Navy?
Yeah, so before the military, I was doing triathlon mainly.
Okay.
And then I enlisted in the military in 2017 with the hopes of joining a special warfare program. And so I mainly did triathlon to train for BUDS, which was Navy SEAL selection.
Got it.
And so I went to BUDS, went to Hell Week, where my road ended there.
Wow.
And my road ended at BUDS at Hell
you
Week.
Failed.
I failed.
You're not a failure.
I won
the 100 miler. I can't believe you failed there.
It's most people do fail, but
yeah.
You know, it was a lifelong goal of mine to become a SEAL. I was lucky enough, because of where I made it in the training, to go have the opportunity to also have another chance at a special warfare program with EOD, which is Explosive Ordnance Disposal, so
yep.
Bomb techs, and was loving that program. That's an amazing program. I was there for about a year and a half before, if anyone's familiar with the program, also failing in radiological and nuclear devices, so the nuclear divisions program, which was quite a blow because it was very far into the training of the school.
Yeah.
And so I failed again, two-time failure. And so after that, I had the joyful experience of going undesignated into the fleet on an aircraft carrier, the USS George Washington, where I was like a construction worker, just did tearing decks and using jackhammers and needle guns and enjoying the splendors of enlisted life on an aircraft carrier.
That's amazing. It sounds really hard.
Yeah,
I mean, can't believe you failed, but I like it. Success through failure. I love it, man.
It was character building.
Yeah.
I mean, I learned a lot, and I do draw on a lot of those experiences in failing through those two programs in driving my success in trail running now.
Yeah. All right, Kyle. So one of the biggest races, obviously Leadville, but another huge race that a lot of our listeners know, Western States, where you have competed a few times there and a couple top 10 finishes. Is that true?
Just once.
Just one top 10 finish.
2021, the first year after COVID.
Yeah.
It was a crazy hot year. It was 102 degrees in Auburn.
Mm-hmm.
And I got ninth place that year, and they invite the top 10 back the next year. And it was a little bit cooler, only 99 the next year, and I couldn't quite hang with all the speed, so
yeah.
I finished 11th that
okay.
next year.
So it was 11th. Okay, so it was not quite the top 10, but that's pretty impressive, man.
Not quite.
So also military connections. Tell us a little bit about you're an Army veteran. Tell us a little about your background and, you know, your time in the Army.
Growing up in Ohio, I went to school in Ohio, and school wasn't really right for me at 21. And so I dropped out of college and joined the Army then, and signed a 6-year contract to be a helicopter mechanic, and spent about a year in training, then went to Korea for a year, and then joined the 160th Special Ops Unit and did that same job, helicopter electrician. So I did anything with lights and radios, that kind of stuff. But did that for the last 4 years I was in, and kind of traveled all over the world from there, Afghanistan, Africa.
Wow. Well, you know, usually this podcast, my wife co-hosts it with me, and you guys are, I can't do anything around the house. I am glad she's not here today, because she would be giving me hell about how much you guys are able to, I mean, you're good with your hands. You can actually do manly tasks. I just can't do it. So impressive, man. But I guess, is that a skill that maybe translates into these ultra marathons?
I think a lot of the logistical stuff, you think about ultras being tough physically, but there's a lot of stuff of like planning out how many calories you're going to need and what you need between aid stations and that kind of thing. So dealing with the logistics was a really important part of especially aviation in the Army. Yep. And that part has definitely translated well to ultra marathons.
So when was your first ultra marathon?
In 2012, my uncle gave me a book about a year before called Born to Run, pretty popular.
Yep.
And in that book, they talk about running a 100-mile race. And I was like, I'd like to check that off the bucket list. So I signed up for the Ozarks 100-miler in Missouri, which was the closest race I could find to my duty station in Tennessee. And in 2012, that was my first trail race, a 100-miler out there.
And it went how?
Pretty poorly.
Success through failure. I love this, man.
I finished pretty middle of the pack, somewhere close to 29 hours of suffering, which means you start in the sunrise, you go all the way through the night, and sometime around lunch next day, you're rolling into that finish line.
It's crazy. Well, you guys are a unique breed. I love it. It's been great to get to know you. What is it about the ultra running space, JP, that you love? Is it the people? Is it the challenge of running 100 miles? Is it, what is it?
Yeah, so I'm really drawn to the people. It's a really fun kind of eclectic group of guys and gals. And just the scenery is really great. I love running out in the mountains, the change of terrain. I mean, in ultras, we aren't running all the time either. We get to walk a bit too, which is nice. So, I mean, yeah, it's a community. It's a really great community of people. And I would, you know, relate it to, you know, when I meet someone that has been in the military, also a veteran, it's like you just click with them pretty immediately. There's a lot of shared experience and bond
totally.
Across from, you know, all the branches. It's kind of the same with any trail runner I run into. We click immediately, so we can go out on like a 15-mile run and still have like be talking all the time through it. So it's all about the community for me.
And similar for you, Kyle. And you know, Sal, there's a lot of folks who are listening who just ran the Marine Corps Marathon. What is it about the ultra space? Why should they get into it? Why should they move up to the next level?
Like JP said, you can walk during the races and do pretty well. But I think it's more of that reaching your potential and the limit of what you can do. And finding that limit for you and seeing how you respond to adversity. And I think that's really what draws me to the sport. And that shared experience, like JP was talking about, it's some quirky, crazy, wild people. And I really love hearing their stories and kind of the personalities that the sport draws is one of the big drivers for me.
All right, we are here at the Marine Corps Marathon Expo at the Gaylord at National Harbor. We've got a couple of ultra marathon running studs who run for ultra. Kyle, one thing that you and I talked about beforehand, which blew my mind, I didn't even know these races existed. And maybe they're not even races. They're maybe more of a challenge in survival. But the Tour de Giants, is that that you did recently in Italy?
Your Italian's impeccable, yeah.
Tell me about that race. Tell our audience about that race and how it went for you.
Yeah, like Chris said, it's called the Tour of Giants in Italian is the race name. And it's this 200 and change mile loop around the Aosta Valley, follows this hiking trail called the Alta Via 1 and 2. Normally it takes people a month to do or so, but during this race they set off and there's a 150-hour cutoff limit. And this is my second time going at it, and this year I finished just under 80 hours.
Wow.
But the distance is one thing, but the really crazy thing about it is the elevation gain. There's something like 90,000 feet. That's like 16 miles of elevation gain.
Wow.
It's just a wild race.
Insane. All right, well, I don't know whether we sold people on doing ultras or not, but let's keep trying with that. Sell us, JP, and I want you to sell us on that, and then I also want you to talk about, because I read somewhere, like it wasn't a smooth path to the finish and winning Leadville. Like, you felt like crap at the beginning, right? So sell us and tell me about that Leadville experience.
Yeah, so I would say, first of all, getting into ultras, you know, me and Kyle might be at the front of the pack, right? And it's people like following the elite runners, but the real soul is, you know, the mid to back of the pack runners. I always make a point to go to the what's called the golden hour at these races, which is the last hour.
It's awesome.
And seeing the people that come in just under the cutoff times is the most inspirational thing. This year when I was at Western States, I went for Golden Hour, and there were more people cheering on the last couple finishers than for the champion
of the
race. And there wasn't like a dry eye in that stadium for that hour. So, you know, anyone can do it. It's really, you know, if you have legs, you could do it. If you're an amputee, you could still do it. It's all in the head. So once you conquer that little mind space, you know, go out and do it. You're your own worst enemy in that.
And I think you conquered that mind space in the beginning of Leadville, which probably happens in all of our races,
right? I mean, luckily, there's going to be a rough spot in all these ultras, even, I imagine, for marathons also. But for ultras, you're going to have these rough patches. And for the beginning of my Leadville race this year, I felt really bad. And I thought it wasn't going to be my day. People were starting to pass me left and right. And it just takes, you know, one moment just to turn it around. And it could be a pat on the back from a fellow competitor. It could be seeing your family and friends at a crew station. So it's really about persevering and getting through those tough experiences. That's what's so formative about these hundreds. Because once you do a 100-miler or anything that's hard to you, even a marathon, people can attest to life, regular life is just easier after that.
Yep.
You know, you have more patience. You
can go through that. Trivial.
Yeah, you can go through the security line and not lose it. You know, you just have more patience. You know, I ran 100 miles.
That's a good one.
What's a day at the office today? You know,
I love it.
I think the patience also comes from military time.
That's probably true.
It really does. It makes everything else seem like, oh, well, I'm only waiting for a couple hours here, not for days and.
Yeah. So Kyle, I'm always fascinated by. All right. So where do you live and what's a week look like? What's the training look like? I'm always fascinated by, you know, what your ultra running schedule is. Do you run 200 miles every week? Like, how's it work?
It goes on cycles throughout the year. It's not a training load I can sustain throughout the year, at least to get ready for these big races. So, in the summertime, it's sometimes upward of 40 hours a week of getting out and running and hiking and training.
Do you measure it by hours or you measure it by distance? Like, how do you,
I measure the all of the above, but mostly like how I feel and how much I think I can push. Just personal exertion rate is something I definitely take into account too.
And how about you, JP? Like, what's a week look like? How much you run in? Like, what do you do? You live out in Boulder. Like, what are you doing?
So in Boulder, it's pretty good running all year round. There, you know, when the first big snowstorm comes in, the trails kind of get socked in with snow.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of like a big marathon community out there and a lot of good flat running. So during the wintertime, I'm usually, you know, around 20 to 30 hours a week of mainly flat, faster running. But when the trails melt out in the spring and summer, you know, it's, you know, 30 hours of a lot of vert, just playing in the mountains. And being in that front range, you have a lot of access to a lot of great trails. So Boulder's a pretty awesome place to train, and that's where a lot of really high caliber athletes are. So
do you feel like your story is unique? I would imagine, right? I mean, you win Leadville and, you know, you were a triathlon and you did that and you're competitive and then took time off and then, you know, a few years of running, you win Leadville. Is that?
Yeah, I would say it's a matter of I just have a really big drive in that, you know, those 5 years in the Navy were very formative, but there is part of me that thinks of what if I was spending those 5 years running instead and where I would be at that point. But, you know, it's kind of a tricky place to think of because, you know, I do draw on that military experience for a lot of hard times during running and mental ability. So it might be a lot of kind of panic racing or panic running at a point. I don't know. But, you know, I'm just 29. I'm just kind of getting into the prime of running. So, yeah.
It's awesome, man. Mm-hmm. All right. I want to bring it back to the military. We're here at the Marine Corps Marathon Expo. All these runners will be running either a 10K, a marathon, or a 50K tomorrow. Super inspiring. But Kyle, when I first met you, I was surprised by the long hair. But, you know, as a former military guy, I was just kind of surprised. So what's the deal with the long hair?
That's right. You get out and you got to rebel against Uncle Sam. Grow your hair out and move away, you know?
But you guys are and a lot of military folks are running this race, super passionate about the military and your experience, right? you know, talk about the military and all these folks who are, you know, out here at this expo. A lot of them have military ties.
Yeah, it's awesome to be at a place like this. In the Army, I ran the Army 10-miler, which was just a couple weekends ago here.
Yep.
And it just feels like that same kind of energy. People who are inspired by this area, and fitness is a part of their life. And serving America is part of their life, too. And to have that same camaraderie with everybody and getting out for a run. I mean, the town I live in is smaller than the amount of finishers we'll have at Marine Corps Marathon.
Wow. Where do you live?
In Durango, Colorado.
Yeah,
so
right.
Southwest corner, kind of near Arizona, Utah.
Yeah. And JP, you've got an American flag hat on. You know, talk about, you know, the folks here who are inspiring me. You know, a lot of military ties here.
Yeah, I mean, if there's a group of people that look out for each other, it's veterans and, you know, fellow service members. We might give each other a really hard time, and there's a lot of good gallows humor.
It's all love.
It really is. Yeah. It's all a veneer. I mean, like I said, I can click with any veteran or service member that I meet, and you know, we really look out for each other, and it's really good to see all these. I mean, being out on the course tomorrow, probably seeing all the Marines out there volunteering, and people just pushing each other to get a marathon or 50K done.
Yeah, it is going to be awesome. You're going to be inspired by a bunch of military folks out there giving you water, supporting you along the way, Kyle. Just a couple more here for you before we get you guys going. Talk about Ultra. How long you been running with Ultra? We touched on it at the beginning. You know, talk about the support they give you and how much, you know, how great of a brand they've been for you, Kyle.
I first found their shoes back in 2013, 2014 in those first
couple
of races.
Before you were sponsored.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And then after I got out of the military, I ran a race called Run Rabbit Run, did well, and saw, I didn't know at the time, it was the athlete manager at the finish line, and he got me linked up. He saw I was wearing the shoes, and not only for me, but for the whole trail running community. Ultra's a great sponsor of supporting races and really getting in people in shoes that work well and work with your feet.
It really are. And JP, talk about Ultra from your perspective.
Yeah, pretty similar. I just joined the Ultra team in February, and so coming up on a year, and it was the same thing. I was at a race that I kind of wasn't going to do, but decided to do it, and I ended up doing very well at the race. Got, you know, second place at the Bandera 100K, and secured a golden ticket to Western States.
Awesome.
And the athlete manager was there, and shout out Shanna, thank you. And
yes,
she was there, and she just came right. I was one of the only athletes out there with just like not in a sponsored kit or anything, and she came up to me right
she
after.
She was smart. Shanna's
like,
smart.
What's your name? Give me your number. And I'm like, yes, please.
Yes.
And so the rest is history, and it's been
great.
Really awesome. I mean, the support is great. I mean, I get to call myself a professional athlete, which is
awesome.
Pretty cool. Yeah,
it's very cool. All right, we're going to get you guys out of here, but you got to tell me what's next. What's up for you, Kyle? What's the next race you're doing? What are you training for?
Ski season's coming up next.
Okay.
The first winter storm's hitting Colorado while I'm enjoying these nice hot temperatures on DC.
Yeah, yep.
So I like to take a hiatus from the long distance running in the wintertime, but hopefully getting back to some mountainous 100-milers coming in the spring and summer.
That's awesome, man. And how about you, JP?
I will be suffering through the winter running, training for a race in February, the Black Canyon 100K, trying to get back to Western States in 2024.
That's awesome. Well, fellas, it's been awesome. Follow JP. Again, stop what you're doing. If you didn't hear me before, give him a follow on Instagram. It's jgiblin13, the number 13, on Instagram. And then you got to follow Kyle as well. It's the king of carbs. If you're following Ultra Running, you'll see their handles. They've been really doing a lot of stuff out here at DC at the Marine Corps Marathon this weekend. So, fellas, we'll do it again. Thank you so much for your time. I really enjoy it. Kyle, JP, really appreciate it, guys.
Welcome, Chris. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Appreciate
you guys. All right, there they go. That is Kyle Curtin and JP Giblin, professional athlete stars for Ultra Running that run the Ultra Marathons. All right, we're here at the Marine Corps Marathon Expo. We will be back with our regularly scheduled programming in probably 2 weeks. But until then, for JP and for Kyle, I'm Chris Farley. This is Pace the Nation. We'll see you next time.